when it comes to parenting, when it comes to preaching or befriending, you have to be able to discern what is going to be the most effective way to get your objective. And that means you have to understand the person you're speaking to and what is the nature of your relationship. For instance, if a particular individual sees me in a certain way and accepts me in a certain way, then I may be able to be more authoritative or fatherly. Like, I have many people that I am their mentor, okay? So since that is that relationship is established, then I act accordingly. Sometimes I do marriage counseling. And so with a particular couple, they're approaching me from a certain relationship. And therefore, one of the first things I will say, especially if it's a serious marriage counseling, like a few years ago, a couple was about to get a divorce, but they asked me to resolve. And I said, I'll come, but you both have to agree that whatever I say, you're going to implement. You understand? So it depends on what is your relationship, how do they see you, and then it also depends on this particular person who I'm dealing with, how much are they ready to take? So it's a dynamic thing. There's not one size fits all. You have to be expert. So if you're, you know, like, are you tutoring her or you're helping? Oh, well then. All right. If she's your daughter, okay. But here's the thing. So that's between you and her. I don't know what your relationship with her is, right? No, because between parent and children, it's a unique thing. Like with my daughter, I'm one way, but my wife with my daughter is a completely different. There's no way I can even compete with that. So you asked me, should you do this and that? You have to decide, in the case of your daughter, what's going to be the most effective way to get the job accomplished. That's your call.
Yeah, but you know how kids, Anita and Sue, they're adults. So, of course, with them, it's
going to
be a different approach.
That's right. That's right. It depends. But she's growing. She's growing. So you're going to have to be, you know, in tune, because there's going to come a day when you won't be able to hammer anymore. Sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have to. Out of love. We call it tough love. Well, the hammering is an external feature. Because even Mother Yashoda had to hammer Krishna. Exactly. So, unfortunately, there's no manual that comes when you have a child. Yeah. Yeah, that's natural. That's natural. Okay. So this is good. And again, there's no one size fits all. Since you're 31, so you're mature, you're grown up, you've seen, you know, you've been around the block. So now you have to consider knowing your parents, how their psyche is, what way, what method is going to work, because your objective is you're trying to help them, correct? So as long as that's your objective, how you do it doesn't really matter, but it has to be a way that actually gets the job done. Now, for instance, I'll give myself, for example, my wife, right? I have the best wife. She loves me. She's even said in previous years, I want to be your wife in my next life. So, but sometimes she's on my case very hard because she knows she'll tell me once, she'll tell me twice, and I don't listen because I'm from New York and I'm real stubborn. All right? So sometimes, like one time, because I wasn't listening, I woke up and she was sitting on my chest. She had me in a chokehold. She wanted my attention. Okay? But, you know, and, you know, I had to make a promise. But it was necessary. So you have to calculate because, as I said, your concern is the best interest of your parents. So sometimes it's sweet. Sometimes it's sour. And by doing things, you'll learn from experience. If I tried this method, if I tried the hammer, it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. And it depends with your mother, with your father, and depending on, you know, the relationship between them. Only you know what is your relation. Like, you may be close to your mother. You may not be close to your father, or depending. So it's a dynamic thing that only you know intuitively. If I approach my father in this way, I know what's going to happen. Like, no offense, men are pretty stubborn. It's our nature. We think we know it all, and we definitely hate women telling us anything. It's our nature. It bugs us. Even though we know you're right, still it's our nature. We think, damn, I just want to watch football. You follow? It's our nature. So my wife, for example, is very, very smart. She knows my nature. So she knows how to get her objective without me, you know, throwing up roadblocks. That comes with practice. Again, there's no manual for being a young teenager or a young adult. You learn things as you go along. But as long as your objective is to help them, good luck. There's no set thing. You got to feel it out, see what works. Sometimes you just got to let them go. Like, for instance, for years my wife told me, got to go to the dentist. And I would go, ah. And then she used to say, one day you're going to be talking like this. She said, you're going to lose all. Sure enough, it happened. In 2008, I had no teeth. For 2 years, I preached without any teeth. Then I got these implants. And she was laughing because she predicted it. Right? So now, since this whole thing, now it's taken, like, we've been married, let's see, 31 years, all right? It's taken me maybe 20 years, and I've said this publicly. I used to always say to my wife, eh. Now if she tells me something, I blindly follow because I know that whatever she's telling me, it's for my good. Like, I do seminars. I have this seminar that I do called Happy Wife Means Happy Life. And for it, no offense, not just Indian men, any men, when they hear that, they go, what? It's the other way around. I go, no, 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 no. And then I do a whole seminar how If it's a religious marriage where the man and woman are coming together and it's based on religion, then I explain to the man, it's in your best interest to chant this mantra. And I make men say it. I want all the men to say it. I do this in temples and seminars like this. Happy wife means happy. I make them say it out loud. And then I explain why it works. Logic. Okay? I tell them, you got to understand, you have married a religious wife. You are her investment. When she tells you anything, it's for your good because you are her investment. Just like you probably have investments, stocks and this and that. You're very concerned about your investments, aren't you? Right? Your 401ks or whatever. So you don't want nothing to happen for your investment. Well, men, your wife considers you her investment. She's given her whole life to you. Therefore, she's not going to let anything happen to her investment. So when your wife tells you, don't do this, do this, just like you're doing with your parents, right? You're doing things and saying things because you're trying to help them, right? So I tell men, when your wife tells you something, you should listen because it's for your good. And now, after 30 years of marriage, my wife says anything, immediately I do it, and I'm a happy man. You like that? All right. Next question. Okay. That's all right. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. One of the hardest things is what you're trying to do. First of all, first impressions are really hard to change people. Basically, all you can do is try to be the best you can. Don't kill yourself. Do the best you can. In time, they will see it. Now, if they're in their 50s and older, it may take a long time. Because as we get older, we are more resistant to change. We're stuck in our ways. Like, I'm 61, all right? So I know what's happening. For me to, change my point of view, besides logic, it takes a little longer. So all you can do is, the only thing, you can't really change them. Only thing you can do is change you. So you just be cool. Do the best you can. Be happy. Do you like your job? That's very big, because a lot of people don't like their jobs. You like your job? Very good. Be happy in your job. Just do the best you can, and little by little, their perception will change. Krishna will give you an opportunity. The opportunity will come. If this is your desire, right? So Krishna in your heart knows, oh, this is your desire? Okay. He's going to give you an opportunity. Something is going to be set up, all right, where you have the opportunity to shine. And when that opportunity comes, it's like, oh, like I'll give you an example. My wife, she's starting a new job on Monday. But in the job that she's just had for 10 years, whenever they would do the office Christmas party, she would be the one to volunteer to decorate and to set things up. In other words, they didn't ask her. She volunteered. And when she left, the whole office staff, they threw a party for her. And the comments that the attorneys were saying and the co-workers were saying were pretty amazing. And even she had forgotten that she had done this, she had done this. So after so many years, it starts to add up. And you be, like she said, somebody, one lawyer in the office who never would even give her the time of day said one of the nicest things about her. So these guys are in their 60s. I mean, some of those, there's one guy there, he's like in his 80s. He won't retire. You know, it's a law office. So, just be the best you, be happy, and time. And as I said, Krishna will give you an opportunity to prove and show them, hey, I'm not a little girl. You know, I'm not some little Hindu girl that just, you know, I'm actually, you know, I'm worth it here. You'll get that opportunity. When it comes, now the thing is, there's no warnings. It comes like this. That's the way Krishna works. Krishna doesn't give you like a it's like, here it is now, let's go. Here's your opportunity. What are you going to do with it? You follow what I'm saying? Are you married? All right, same thing. Something's going to happen one day. Krishna's going to send you your angel. He's going to say, here he is. Boom. Fair enough? Okay. Okay. That was already done 5,000 years ago. Even when Krishna was here, a lot of people didn't accept. So it's already been, that game plan, he's already tried. So in this current age, right, the game plan is, all right, I've already come so many times. And even the last time I came, hardly anybody accepted me. So now you're on your own. For those who are serious and sincere, he has left the message. The Bhagavad Gita is there. The Hare Krishna mantra is there. People, please don't take the wrong way. People like me are here who have dedicated their lives to, as you say, spread the word. For those who are, you know, ready and who are sincere, they'll lock in. The rest of them, they don't want it. The problem is free will. And there's a whole slew of people that even if God came to their door, they would still say, I don't want nothing to do with you. So that's there. But for anyone who is really even somewhat interested, especially now, like you said, technology now, you just go on Google, type in Krishna. Yeah. No, but it is there. It is there. Okay? Another thing, God does not want cheap. Yeah, God could have come, stopped the hurricane. Actually, who sent the hurricane? It was him in the first place. Right? Okay, God could appear at the halftime of the Super Bowl. God could have gone on Larry King. But he says, you know what? Nah, I ain't doing that. I'm going to come on my terms. So God says, you want to know me? There's Bhagavad Gita. There's the Hare Krishna mantra. There are the temples. And there are my representatives, sadhus and devotees and saints. Go through that. You will easily get me. And for those who don't, here you go. There's Las Vegas. There's, you know, all this other stuff. Okay? Plausible? Okay? Let me just finish one thing. Let's say God comes and, you know, appears and does something miraculous. There's still going to be people who say, that's not God. There's still going to be the person who says, you know, for instance, there are some Christians, right? If Krishna himself were to come down, Christians would say, that's not God. That's the devil. Now, you brought up an interesting point. There's been killing in the name of religion. That's true. There's also been killing in the name of non-religion too. Because I know the atheist argument. Because I've heard it. The atheist says, if we do away with religion, there'll be no killing. Hello, most wars are fought over economics. That's just a nice excuse. But it is true, in the name of religion, over the years, there has been, the history has shown that. Okay, that is there. That's just the way the world, that's the way humanity is. In any religion, there are people who use the religion for their own aggrandizement. What are you going to do? But again, there are people who see through it all and actually get the core message. Those people are few in numbers. It's like a pyramid. You know, people who really get it are very small in number. All right. What? You wanted to... I interrupted you. Please forgive me. What I hear, correct me if I'm wrong, you would like a direct experience, and that's what you need. You need this direct experience, correct? For you. Let's forget about everybody else. Let's just talk about you. You would like a direct experience. All right. That's valid, okay? After all, you know, hearing you and knowing you for all these years, you're an intelligent person. So a dogma isn't going to work. So you would like a direct experience. Now, for that to happen, two things are required. You have to want it more than anything else, not just once in a while, but it has to be something you really want. Number two, you need somebody to bless you. I can bless you, but you have to really want it. In my case, I had that. Okay? Why do you think I am doing what I'm doing? Because I had a direct experience. Because I come from a Christian background. I was raised in Catholic school. Okay? When I met my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, okay? When I saw him, when I heard him, when I started to come in contact with the Hare Krishna movement, for me, that was my direct experience. The only reason I believe in Krishna is because of him. And I remember the first time I saw him, my realization was, now I understand what they're talking about in the Bible about Jesus. I found my 20th century Jesus. For me, that was my experience, and it changed my life. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because of that. And I would tell my Christian friends, it says in the Bible, nobody goes to the Father but through me. So I said, yes, I worshiped Jesus for 23 years, right? Now he's shown me the Father, Krishna. They can't talk to me. Because I did exactly what their book says. Talk to the hand. Okay? So, you can have what you want, but you gotta in my case, I really wanted it. I was completely miserable. At the age of 22, 23, I was desperate. So, I was ready, and that's what I wanted. I wanted this kind of experience. Because I really wanted it, Krishna gave me that opportunity. So, I will bless you, but the real thing is, how bad do you want it? If you really want it, you will get your experience. Okay? All right. He wants some experience to give him that faith. Yeah, I understand exactly what you're talking. It is clear as a bell.
Yeah, I mean, like, for example, Krishna did everything that we hear about, and all the miracles and everything. Jesus walked on water.
Right.
And Muhammad and Moses, all this.
Yeah, yeah.
Show it to me once.
No, he wants a direct experience that confirms it in his heart. That's what he's saying. And it's valid. It's valid. Just like, I used to get this question all the time when I go to high schools and colleges. The students would say, so do you raise your children Hare Krishna? I go, well, of course. Every parent raises their child, because they think, oh, you may be Hare Krishna, but you should not, brainwash your child. No, every parent raises their child their way. That's human nature. But even though let's say in the Hare Krishna movement, a child is born with two Hare Krishna parents, and they take the kid to the temple every day. When the kid turns 15, 16, we've already seen it. A lot of times they go, you know what? I'm out of here. Even the Mormons go through that. You know, the Mormon kids are raised very strict, you know, and they're taken. But sometimes they have defections, you know, because it's not, like you said, logical. Yeah. Yes. No, at a certain age, you start to doubt unless you have a direct experience. That's why I was saying what you're saying is totally valid. Just blind faith in any religion is only going to get you so far. Something's going to happen at some point where your blind faith is tested, and it's like, well, what do I do now? Right? Yes, it is dangerous, right. It can take you so far, right? But at some point, it's going to be tested, and now what do I do? I'm in the foxhole, you know. Now it's just me and whatever. So, yes, but the thing is, like I said, you really got to want that direct experience. When you really, really want it, Krishna in your heart will say, okay, he'll give you that. And I will bless you for that if you'll accept my blessing. Is it 12:30? Kalki, yes. But that's at the end. That's in 427,000 years. And he comes to kill. So you don't want, Prabhupada said, you don't want to be around for that. You want to be finished. Did you want to say something? Yes.
That turning point for this guy, whoever it is who don't believe or are believer, it will come.
Yes.
It will come this way. You know, it can be now or it should be 20 years down the line, but that point will come. They will become a believer or whichever path they want to go here.
Yes.
It's as simple as that.
Could be possible, might not be this lifetime, maybe.
Yes, but see, based on what he's saying, He's going to have this experience this lifetime. Because I'm going to bless him or curse him, whatever the case may be. But I'm a nice, I don't curse. I'm not allowed to curse. Prabhupada forbade us. He said, no. Bless. Okay. It's 12.